Hello, world. What's up, guys? Once again, you are listening to the Fight Bananas podcast. How's everyone doing out there? This is going to be fun. This is something that I've been looking forward to for a while. I say it all the time. I probably over-prepare. There's always a topic or a fighter, and then I have seven questions written for him, right? And I always have all these ideas of what we're going to talk about, theories and title fights and fight breakdowns that I do with my main man, the Professor John Rafford. But tonight, today, this morning, whenever you listen to the Fight Bananas podcast, thank you so much. By the way, download, subscribe, tell your friends and a neighbor and maybe an enemy. I got my main man, Rodolfo Roman, coming on, and we're just going to let it go. We're just going to hit the record button. He's one of the great commentators in the game, ring announcers for Titan FC. He ring announces for Combat Night, and the man just knows it all. He has his own show, has his own podcast, The Roman Show. He knows his UFC. He knows everything about the game. So we're just going to... I'm telling you, I'm going to open up a cold adult beverage. I'm going to relax, and we're just going to talk fight game. We hope you guys enjoy the show. I have a big, big feeling you will. So thank you so much for Roman coming on the show. We appreciate that, and we appreciate our sponsors. First of all, let's give out that plug, N-Still Nutrition. Check out nstillnutrition.com. Make sure you go to the website and get the joint to suit you. I use it every single day. It just, you know, hey, man, we're getting a little bit older, right? We're getting a little bit, you know what I mean? Or if you're training day in, day out, you need something to help you out. So go to nstillnutrition.com and get the hookup. All right, guys, man, let's get it going. Let's go bananas with my main man, Rodolfo Roman. All right, guys, I told you we're going to have him on the Fight Bananas Hotline. My main man, Rodolfo Roman from The Roman Show. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Dave. Thanks so much, man. Real good, man. Can't complain. All good, man. All good.
Very cool. Like I said in the intro, usually I got 25 things. I got lessons. I got a pay-per-view that we're going to break down. This time, I just want to hit the record. Let's just talk the fight game, anything that comes up. Let's just have fun with it. You cool with that?
I'm cool with that, man. Okay. Anything you want to ask, and we'll chat. I mean, those are the better interviews and conversations. You know, I learned a lot from Howard Stern. You know, he gave a couple of points, and you just take it from there.
Right. Okay. Well, let's start kind of your show. I love your show. I listen to it all the time. Probably a little. Let's maybe start somewhere that we maybe shouldn't have. I guess is. I see that you are a professional wrestling fan, and not a lot of people know this about me. I've kept it in the closet, I guess, long enough now. We're on episode, I think, 177 or 178, something like that. I've been to 8 WrestleManias. I've been to NXT. Ooh. I've been to, you know, over 200 shows for the last 20 years. I saw Hacksaw Jim Duggan when I was 4 years old, and I'm 35, and I still haven't stopped. So I'm with you. So let's talk a little pro wrestling.
We're there, man. We're there. We go way back. Yeah, I've been a wrestling fan. You know, my grandfather got me into wrestling. Over the summer, I would go to Nicaragua, where my parents are from, in Central America, and he would show me a lot of the lucha libre, the Mexican wrestling.
Right.
And I just became a fan. And then from there, you know, I started getting a hold of then WWF, which is now WWE. And I just fell in love with it. I always found myself... to become a pro wrestler. That was my goal as a teenager. I wanted to be a pro wrestler. And actually, when I was in high school, I joined the wrestling team. Stupid me thinking that it was like pro wrestling, and then I realized it was not.
Right, right.
So I ended up wrestling in high school, did some folk wrestling. And actually, while I was there, I was I played football as well. But I would go train at a local pro wrestling school down here in South Florida with Rusty Brooks. You know who Rusty Brooks is? He's a very well-known person down here in South Florida and Florida in general. I would even go, say, in the South. He's had matches with Hulk Hogan, who's really good friends with The Rock's dad,
right,
who just recently passed away.
Right.
And at the time, he got the Norman Smiley MVP. All these guys were a part of that school, and I got to learn from them.
Wow.
And it was such a great, great opportunity to learn from these guys, because I learned a lot from them. Not just for the wrestling-wise, but for some of the stuff that I do in the ring as an announcer, believe it or not.
Right. That's where I was going to get to. That was definitely the transition I was going to take. It is, to me, you're unbelievable, Roman. I love watching you do what you do for Titan FC on UFC Fight Pass. And, you know, now I see you a lot. You're working with Mitchell Chamali there for Combat Night. You're awesome. Tip to the hat to you. I love watching you. I love doing what you're doing. Have you ever thought about transitioning, you know, with NXT being in Orlando and so big in Florida, have you ever thought about trying to announce for WWE or another wrestling organization like now AEW?
So 4 years, I would say 4 years ago, I remember interviewing Dusty Rhodes, the late Dusty Rhodes, and he told me, hey, send me your tape. And at the time, I just didn't feel that it was the appropriate time.
Okay.
Sadly enough, a couple of months afterwards, Dusty Rhodes passed away. But he told me, you know, he was, I'll take that to the grave. He was able to give me a little blessing there and says, yeah, look, we need people like you who are Spanish descendants and can speak Spanish and can speak English well. And I think you'd be a great fit. But again, hey, things happen. I ended up sticking here with mixed martial arts. And I'll tell you one thing. I've done some pro wrestling. I've worked with Core Power of Major League Wrestling. I did two shows for him down here in Miami, Florida, and that aired on BN Sports. But I got to tell you, I love wrestling. I really do. I love the whole entertainment portion of it. But there's nothing like mixed martial arts or combat sports, boxing. When you look at these guys, and again, all due respect to pro wrestling, and we know that there is a big physical risk when they get inside the ring, but as we know, some of it is coordinated or we know the end result. But there's nothing like when you go into a big fight and you feed off that energy from the fighters and from the fans, and in the back, you know, you see these guys, you're asking them for their information, their height or their weight or whatever you need, their nicknames, and they're ready. They're so passionate, you know, just to go out there and bust someone in the face. And
right.
I never got that from wrestling. You know, I never got, it was more like, hey, you know, yeah, we're going to do this storytelling. Again, I appreciate it. I love it. But there is nothing. I can tell you, I can explain to you the feeling I get. I in my later part of my years, I competed. I just actually have fought in December. And I realized, okay, I'm never going to be a mixed martial artist or anything like that. And that's it. My body just can't go. I'm only 38, but as you get older, you know how it is.
Oh, I do. I do.
Yeah, you know what it is. But this is as close as I can get. You know, this is as close as I can get. And just knowing that, the competition feeling, that's something that I found myself challenging when I left high school, because there wasn't no amateur wrestling or wrestling team back then. I did some karate, and MMA at that time was still kind of developing to what it is now. American Top Team existed, but it wasn't what it is now. That it's, I mean, at one point, it was almost like a McDonald's. You will find an ATT at every corner down here in South Florida.
Right, right.
So, you know, and I'm like, oh, what do I do? What do I do? What do I continued to wrestle a little bit. I injured my back. I got two herniated discs. I said, all right, this is it, man. And one of my good friends, who works at MMA Masters, he opened the door for me and I started competing. And ever since, you know, I still have that wrestling background that I love. And at the same time, I fell in love with Muay Thai. And I've been doing it since. I went to Thailand and trained, and it's one of the best things. I would never change it for the world. And I fell in love more with combat sports. I love it. You know, and again, there's nothing like it. Again,
right.
I don't want to disrespect pro wrestling, but there is no rush. There's nothing like whether you're in a boxing ring or a cage, and you know that someone's going to get punched in the face. Like my old coach used to say, there's no, this is the only sport or type of activity that you can punch someone in the face and you won't go to jail for it.
And people will cheer for you and take pictures with you afterwards with the winner. So
I'm
with you.
That's really, I mean, you can't beat it.
You really can't. And that's funny you said that, too. I'm going to kind of go there, I guess, is Same thing. Yeah, I've commentated for Combat Night, and now I've been to the last, I would say, 7 island fights in a row, mostly in Pensacola, Columbus, Georgia, Orange Beach, Alabama, on UFC Fight Pass as well as Titan FC. And, I sit ringside, I do backstage interviews, we do some tapes, and you're right. There's just nothing like it. The crowd is electric. There's something about the crowd kind of being almost on pins and needles, and then you see the knockout or the slam or the sick transition move that you see some of the fighters do, and it's like the roar, the crowd, and being on it, being in the ring like yourself, you were saying, and just being ringside like I'm saying, I agree with you 100%. There's nothing like a fight. We talk about it all the time. If, when we were kids, right, we go outside, we play kickball, we play basketball, we play football. But if someone yells at you, hey, football, like maybe you're still talking to your girlfriend at 12 years old, you know what I mean? But if someone yells at you, goes, Roman, there's a fight, you are going to turn around. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to leave my girlfriend there. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to go to the fight. There's just something organic in us as men, or as just even people, females as well, which, hey, maybe we'll get into that, just how hot female MMA is. But there's just something about a fight that's just in this, just this organic essence that we just gravitate to.
Yeah, it's a beautiful thing. And for those who, I always get ticked off, oh, that's so savage. And you just don't know. You don't know. And
right.
Aside from the fact that the knockoffs and all that good stuff, you know what these people go through to get to that stage. All that pain and that blood and the sweat and the tears that they have to go through to get to that victory, whether it was a 5-round war or a 30-second knockout, they went through hell. And I think that that's some of the most challenging thing. And I think one of the most beautiful thing about this sport is that these are some of the most aggressive, nastiest people if you were to get in a fight with them. But if you meet these guys in the street and women, they're the sweetest people in the world.
Right. You're so right about that. I say it all the time. Most of them are friends with me, or not even that. Now they're family. We have them over for dinner. We go on vacations with each other. We're at church together on Sunday mornings. They have. It's so funny you say that. Most of the fighters that I talk to on the daily, on the weekly, monthly basis, they're family now. So I'm with you on that. Let's hit on something that I hit on a couple episodes ago, and I hope you know exactly what I'm talking about. The UFC Norfolk show with the referee stoppage on Megum. You know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Okay, so... and I kind of led it with I have my main man, John Raffer, the professor. He coaches at Pete White Boxing. He comes on the show a lot of times with us, and we bounce it back and forth. And I am, and I don't know, if Roman, you might learn this about me. I am a go-lucky guy. I'm a super positive guy. My glass is always 3/4 full, even when it's empty. I think the ice will melt, and then it'll fill back up. That's just who I am. But it really ticked me off. I'm going to be really strong on this one. Everyone was so hard on the referee, and I said I kind of defended him, and I think I'm on a little bit of an island here. I respect the fight game and the fighters so much. I don't think it's something to play around with. Ian was kind of saying, he was, kind of faking that he was knocked out, and he looked like a zombie, and he was just kind of playing in there. I kept on hearing the word playing. He was playing possum. This is the fight game. There's no playing. We don't play basketball here in mixed martial arts. We fight. There's no playing inside the octagon. So it really ticked me off. It really aggravated me on that side. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I agree. And I guess it goes, was it that a couple of shows ago that where Joe Rogan just bashed you? Was it in Texas, I think it was the John Jones fight?
Right.
Where Joe Rogan was just bashing all the referees or the judging and other. Listen, we got to remember, this sport, believe it or not, is still fresh, it's still new, and we're learning as we go. I've seen it done here in Florida, where some of the referees have had an opportunity where it's very early. But, at the same time, the people that are not in there, that they're outside watching, it's easy for us to judge.
Sure.
But you don't know what that referee saw. Maybe that he saw that referee's eyes, the fighter's eyes, go backwards and go on. The goal of the referee is to protect the fighters. That is his job. We don't want to get it to a point where, well, we heard last year in boxing, I think we lost like 2 people that were competing.
Right.
The referee let the fight go, and then later on, he dies in the hospital.
Right.
Maybe if the referee would have stepped in earlier, it would have prevented him from taking out his punches that led to that concussion and then died. So we can't always point the picture of the referee. And I know some of the fighters get upset and say that was an early stoppage. But they don't know at the time, too. Their adrenaline is going. They're rushed. They're not paying attention whether it was a good point or even the benefit of the doubt.
Right. And
the referees are doing the best that they yes. can. They're human, just like you and me.
Right, right. And I'm with you on that. I'm always going to, if I was, you know, hey, Dana White, I go into the judges and the referees. Hey, guys, I'm always want you there 1 second early than 1 second late. I would rather be okay. I remember like 4 years ago, Barao and Uriah Faber. It looks like, your Faber put the thumbs up and then a couple other shots and then they stopped it and Faber's like, what? I'm okay with that. A mistake on that side, I'm fine with. A mistake, sometimes you see, you know, some of these heavyweights, they get two or three extra shots in. That's where it can go wrong. We don't know if Stipe Miocic is ever going to fight again with his eye problem. This is like, that's like yeah. this big elephant in the room right now. They're trying to say, we already have UFC 251 already lined up. Stipe is not a part of the shows. This has been a long time. Maybe he got hit a little bit too much. So, I'm always going to side on the side of protecting the fighters. You're right, because I see what they do 24/7 to get themselves into that cage. It's unbelievable what these guys, men and women, do.
Yeah, no, I agree. But I will, though, if I did have to bash, it's a judging. But that, again, is so, and that's what they say, never leave it to the hand of the judges. And it's just not in mixed martial arts. How many times have we said, oh, that's a travesty in boxing? You know, where we leave everything, the boxers leave it to the judges, and you second guess yourself, really, you went with that when I saw it this way? And that's really so hard. I feel bad for some of these judges that are sitting in those seats, because it's the fight, the result of the fight is in their hands. And that is such a difficult job. Because, you know, maybe you're off, maybe you're not. You have to go by an opinion. But if we were to do something, in my opinion, to fix that judging system, get some fighters in there, man.
Right.
You know, get some people that have gone in game, that know what the hell they're doing. Don't get Joe Schmo that has been doing it for 100 years since Jesus walked on earth and you trust him because he's been doing that long.
Right.
But let's get some people that actually saw some physical contact and they are able to tell you, you know, I agree. This guy won because of so-and-so-and-so. This is why I gave him that point, the points.
Right. Roman, this is great. Okay. I'm so happy we got here. We're 177 episodes into the Fight Bananas podcast. And I think podcast two or three, we throw out. And this is, you know, we do. We have a lot of interviews. We talk with a lot of fighters, promoters, agents. But a lot of times I don't like to just go, oh, UFC Norfolk, this guy won, this guy won, this guy won. We like to throw out theories and ideas and make people think. Sometimes they're horrible. Sometimes, whoa, they catch on. And I remember episode two or three, we threw out the idea of a scoreboard. Every sport, soccer, baseball, every hockey, everyone in the world in the arena knows the score. I knew the Chiefs were losing in the Super Bowl in the fourth quarter until they made the comeback. I'm not talking about changing the score and it's 10-9. I think there should be more 10-8 rounds. We'll get into that later. But after round one, Dominic Reyes would have saw, okay, wow, I won that one, 10-9. Then after round two, he thinks he won this. Maybe he didn't. And now he's like, whoa, maybe I got to go back to round one. I just think it's so easy to put up the blue side, red side. That's it, 10-9. And then you add it up, 19-19, 2018, whatever the score is. So the fighters know, for one, where they're at. And then two, I'm going to take where you took it, and I talked to Ross Pearson. I think around like 2 weeks ago, it was kind of really after the Jones-Reyes. And he said the same thing you just did. He goes, hey, you know, maybe I know Chuck Liddell and Forrest Griffin. They don't want to do it. But guys like me, he's like, hey, I'm not going to lie. Like, I would love a check. You know, I would love, I would come for the week. I would sign autographs. I would take pictures with babies. You know, pay me $8,000, $10,000. And I've been in the fight game. I know what guy wants to transition. I know what it is to take for a wrestler down and all that stuff. He goes, fighters like me that's been in like the first, you know, the first rise of UFC, you get those guys back in the fold. You bring the family back in, give them a good deal. The UFC is only a multi-billion-dollar corporation. I think it's worth it. What do you think about those two ideas?
Yeah, I agree. But see, as far as putting up the scoreboards, and you're right, when you are watching an NFL game or a basketball, you know. But don't you think, too, that it will kind of leave away from the suspense of the end of the result? I get the advantage for the fighters. Oh, I'm losing this. I better go to the knockout because I know the third round, I already lost two rounds. I pretty much lost this fight. But it does take away a little bit for the suspense.
Well, okay. I like how you said that. For one, on a, you know, a five-round fight, if it's, you know, four rounds or three rounds, nothing, four rounds, nothing, yeah. But how about, remember when Demetrius and Cejudo, when they fought, it was the rematch, yep. And it was 2-2. Imagine the buzz in the crowd and the air that we knew the rounds were 2-2. It was, you know what I mean? It was 38-38 going into the last round. Now, to me, it creates even more buzz because now we know that it's tied. We know it's a fifth round fight. One, whoever wins this round wins the fight. I think in certain instincts, you're right. It would take away. But, you know, hey, there's blowouts in football. There are blowouts in basketball. But in the major ones, in the championship fight ones.
I agree with that.
Okay,
like, I agree with that. And it's just true. It's having like a tie game.
Right.
You know, and there's 2 minutes left.
Right.
2 minute warning.
Yes.
People are going crazy.
Yes.
I agree with you.
Yes, okay.
I like that one.
Cool. I think I'm, you know, hey, I agree with it. We're so young in the game. We're all growing. You know, if you would have told me 10, 12 years ago that the UFC would be wearing Reebok and I would watch it on ESPN, I would have said you're crazy. But that's where it is now.
Right.
It's amazing. So
right.
8 years, right. 10 years from now, I can only imagine what's going to happen. I'm excited as a fight fan, you know, in the media, but just more important as a fight fan, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and it's just a matter of time to who knows where we're going to be. You know, there's Karate Combat. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but Karate Combat, basically it's karate, but a little bit more over the edge, if you want to say, knockouts and all this stuff. It's not your Mr. Miyagi stuff, right? And they have developed this great system where you're on your phone or on an app, and you're seeing how many strikes the fighter is landing and how many shots he's been hit. And it's almost like you're watching a video game.
Wow.
So
okay.
I think that we're heading down that route soon. That whole, it's not really virtual reality because you're seeing an actual fighter, but if you look at what these guys have done, it's just ridiculously crazy how they follow in the app. The way they shoot this stuff, the production literally looks like a freaking video game. They had a show down here in Miami that I worked with. They had the fighters. They brought them in yachts and in Lamborghinis.
That's cool.
And they fight like on a pit, and the fans, they were sitting like on cargo ship or cargo shipment equipment. And it literally looked like if you were watching a Street Fighter.
Oh, that's cool.
So I think that we're going to get to the point where fans are going to be more interactive with the fight itself, where you're going to be able to see how much, you know, battery life or fighting life that fighter has, you know, according to whatever this computer system is going to be. And I think that's what we'll be heading very, very soon.
Wow, that's very cool. Very cool. Okay, let's talk about where you were at just Friday night, Titan FC 59. I would love for you to talk about, for one, that event, and then two, how you got connected with Titan FC, how great your relationship is with Lex McMahon, and so on and so on. And we'll take it from there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'll go back. I've actually been now 5 years with Titan FC. It's been some time now. I didn't really realize until I noticed that the calendar didn't match 2016. It's a funny story. I was headed to a Guns N' Roses concert in Orlando, and I got a phone call from Frank Morajon, who we know, who puts the events together for Florida MMA Award.
Yep.
And he said, "Hey, Titan FC needs an announcer. I'm going to put you guys in talks and take it from there." I says, "Cool, man. I appreciate that." And so really, the guy who put the cherry on top there, who made the relationship, is Frank.
And
he connected me with Lex. And from there on, I worked with some very talented producers that have worked for UFC, that have worked with Univision, who've worked with several major league professional teams. And I got to say that every time I go in there, I learn every day from all of the technology, because I just don't show up and announce. No, I make sure I go to the production truck and I start looking at the cameras, because I studied journalism and I was always intrigued by broadcast television. And in fact, that's what I wanted to do. That's what I went to school for, to become a broadcast journalist. I ended up going to Prince, but whatever. Different story. And so I get a feel for all the technology, and Tata to see how it allowed me to do that and connect to the USS Type Pass and other satellites and all this cool stuff. So this is a great opportunity that I've learned, not just going in there and announcing, but all this other cool stuff that I learned. And like I said, it's been 5 years now. Lex McMahon is a cool boss, Jeff as well, super cool dudes. And one thing I've learned about these guys and that I see about these guys, they're just not promoters. You know, they're not, you know, hey, let me just take your money away. No, they really care about their fighters and they care about their people. You see Lex McMahon every time, I'll never forget the image of when Gustavo Ballard, he lost, and this kid was crying. You know, this is an Olympian guy.
Right.
Everybody had high hopes for him to go to the UFC. He's at one UFC. And this guy was just like, man, like, he couldn't believe it. And I remember Lex going up to him and hugging him like if he was his son, you know. So that's how I see Lex. To everyone with the production crew and the fighters, he's like an ass, you know. He's like, right. He's like, all right, guys, you know, let's go do it and have a good job, all right? Let's go, let's have fun.
Right.
And that's the type of outlook I have for Lex. And I think it was last year he was given a Man of the Year award, if I'm correct.
Yep.
For the Florida MMA Awards, and rightfully so, he deserves it because, like, again, he's not just a promoter. He's not there just to, hey, look, I'm putting on the fights and I'm going to take your money away. The guy really cares about the fighters, and when he brought Dana White, you know, this is how much Dana White and the UFC respect Lex McMahon for what he's doing and helping these guys and women develop their skill to potentially go on to the next level. Dana White coming down here just goes to show you how much of a respect they have for Lex and Jeff and what Titan FC is doing. Dana White is not just going to come here for you know, crappy giggles. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, man.
To me, that meant the most for me. I had met Dana White in previous times, but as a reporter. But for me to get in front of him and announce, and for Lex and Jeff allowing me to trust that I would do on a good show in front of the big, big boss. I mean, that to me just meant the world, and I'm happy to be with Titan FC. I started way earlier on back in 2010. I was announcing at nightclubs when we would do these things in the grimiest, weirdest place that you can imagine.
Right.
But that's where I started announcing. You know, I announced in the shadiest places that you can imagine. We would do them at nightclubs and bars where people would get into bar fights. So I've had my fair share of experience. I've had the opportunity of being there. And to me, the career that I've had as an announcer, and one of the most touching moments to me, because I've never felt that, whether it's WWE or any sporting event. Well, other than when Jose Fernandez, the Miami Marlins pitcher, died, that was a very touching one. But this one in mixed martial arts, if you remember a couple of years ago, Fallon Fox is a transgender fighter. And she fought Ashley Evans-Smith, who is now currently in the UFC.
Yes,
and
yes.
This is a time where Fallon Fox came out on CNN and stated, yes, I fought, and I told the promoter, I am a man who has transitioned now to a female. And that had so much publicity. At the time, the company was CFA, Championship Fighting Alliance, which George Denaloval, who was the promoter, in fact, he's the one that gave me my first shot. He was the one who got me to where I am now, because he was the one, they didn't have an announcer. He goes, hey, you want to do it? I said, well, okay. And that's how I got started.
Wow.
And I'll never forget that day, because in the arena, and that's where the University of Miami, the Miami Hurricanes basketball team plays, and I have never seen such a packed house. And nothing against Fallon Fox. She's a great fighter, and for what she did, she's a pioneer. You know, good for her. But everyone was backing Ashley Evans-Smith. It didn't matter if you were a man, woman, whatever the hell you were.
Right.
Everyone backed Ashley Evans-Smith, and when she defeated Fallon Fox, you saw Ashley's emotions. She was breaking down, and I saw women and men in the stadium or in the arena in tears. I kid you not.
Wow.
One of those beautiful things I've ever experienced. Everyone was so, it was such a great story. It wasn't just a fight. It was the story behind the fight. You know, here we have the first woman who's openly came out and said, I'm a transsexual. And I have a woman, full-blown woman, taking on this transsexual who beat her up, destroyed her, ground and pound. In fact, I think Fox only fought once, and that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Such a beautiful moment, such a beautiful historic moment. I'm sure you can still see it. It came out on Access TV. They flew in so many big heads to watch this event. And one that will definitely go down in history in Florida and in MMA in general. You know, so that was the first time ever that we got everyone was talking about it. Joe Rogan, the whole freaking world was talking about it.
Wow, that's epic. That's awesome. Man, guys, we're talking with Rodolfo Roman, part of the Roman Show. You know, I could talk to you forever. There's probably two more big things I do want to hit on. And then, man, we'll do this again. I'm loving it. I'm loving your stories. I appreciate it, my man. This is awesome. First of all, the first one I want to stick with is kind of maybe right where you just were. I'm a moment guy. I love the sport. There's main events. There's just nothing like a big fight on a Saturday night, you know, in live in person, or if you're watching as a fan, you know, if it's UFC or Titan FC or bare knuckle, whatever you're watching, what has been a moment, that you will tell your grandkids about something in mixed martial arts, maybe even a story, not even during the fight. Maybe it's something you saw during weigh-ins. Maybe it's something you saw at a gym. What's a moment that you're like, hey, this is one to tell the grandkids about?
That's a tough one. Cause I've seen so many great stories to look back. God, you really got me here. I really got to think about this because I've seen so many good episodes. But you know what? I'm gonna have to go what I just told you. I have a daughter, and seeing Ashley Evans Smith taking on Fallon Fox. Well, when you look at it on paper, I remember the critics and people in general telling Ashley Evans Smith, hey, are you sure you want to do this? I mean, this is, yes, a transsexual, and she's had all these operations, and yes, the testosterone's gone down, but, you know, scientifically, she's a lot stronger of a person than you are.
Right, of course.
And Ashley Evans Smith said, no, I'm going to take this person out, whether it's a man or a woman or whatever. I'm going to go out there, I'm going to win. And I'm going to take my, I think it was $10,000, $20,000 check. I can't remember what the person was. But that's a good example to motivate my daughter, whatever the hell she wants to do in life. But to say, look, this crazy woman decided to do that a first.
Yeah.
You can do anything you want. You're just as strong as any man, as any woman, as anything in this world. So I think to me that's a story that I will tell. And then I remember seeing afterward, they tried to copy that. I think in Brazil, they had a fight with a man and an actual man, a man and a woman. I don't think that went too well. But they tried to duplicate. I think it was like a year after. The first intergender MMA fight. I didn't think it ended up too well. But I think that is a story that I will tell. And you know what? One that I saw is Ronda Rousey. You know, Ronda Rousey going and headlining a pay-per-view, main eventing one, and being the first female to do so and getting all that money as a woman, setting the standard. And let's face it, you know, in this generation, or in the last, 10 years, we've had our fair share of athletes, right, that they have done something right, and then we'll go down in history and we'll talk about. And Ronda Rousey has to be there.
Yes.
She opened the path for women. Heck, it trickled down. You know, what she did, Dana White saying, oh, women will never fight for the UFC. And she went in, she headlined the pay-per-view, she banked, she went to Hollywood, she went to the WWE. Hell, the WWE changed their way of looking at women because of Ronda Rousey.
Wow. All
right? So women got the respect because of Ronda Rousey. They started realizing, hey, wait a minute. Some of our fans are also MMA fans, and they watch Ronda Rousey all the time. We got to change our stuff here. And the fans in the WWE were saying, hey, take the Divas name out and give women's wrestling respect. And look where it is now, where the WWE actually had their first was a year, 2 years ago, they had their all women pay-per-view.
Yep.
So that in itself, she is a pioneer in the sports of mixed martial arts. She got so much publicity. And listen, I know that some people say this about that, about Ronda Rousey, the way she is, but listen, she did something that many other women potentially didn't have the guts to do, but she did it. She stepped up to the plate. She's a good-looking woman, and she knew how to sell herself. And she did. She paved the way for all the females where they are now in mixed martial arts. And hell, look at the USA women's team. Okay, she in a way she put her seed in there to get these women to win and say, hey, pay us more money, just like you paid us the men's soccer team. Pay us more money.
Right.
So,
yeah, Roman, there's no Amanda Nunes and Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Zhang Weili. These girls are phenomenal. Yep. But Ronda Rousey paved the road. She put the cement on the road, paved it up, and then these girls now, these trailblazers, who I think Amanda Nunes is actually an underrated fighter, not even best female in the world. Oh, she might be the best fighter in the world. These girls ran with it. I agree with you. There's no Becky Lynch, and there's no Amanda Nunes without Ronda Rousey. That's just plain and simple.
I agree. And now just look at how women are getting that publicity, are getting that exposure in sports. They're just not a piece of meat anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're respected athletes. And Ashley Evans-Smith, you know, she did something against a transsexual, but again, scientifically, you know, it's there. You know what I mean? And I have nothing against transsexual. I mean, I was happy that the promoter, George Lima, allowed Fallon Fox to find that card because this guy had the balls to say, hey, you know what? I don't care what you people think. She has a right to do whatever anyone in this world has a right for. And if her opponent agreed, then screw it. We got to fight.
Love it.
What they've done, what women have done, and again, since I'm a father and I have a daughter, to me, I that just means the most for me, just to show them that one day, you know, I can show Ronda Rousey be like a Muhammad Ali, but to women, you know, that hey, you can be as powerful and strong as Ronda Rousey or an Amanda Nunes, who's a freaking beast inside the cage. And that is a perfect example that I want to show to my daughter by using these athletes and showing them that she can do anything she wants.
Wow, that's awesome. I do love that. Okay, last thing. This is something I think will hit home to both of us. Podcast. Joe Rogan podcast. It's amazing that you see some of these fighters now. They don't even care that they win or if they get a bonus. They just want to talk to Joe Rogan. That's like the most biggest thing in the world. I don't know if you've heard the Angela Hill. Angie Hill is a badass female fighter. She's won, you know, 4 out of her last 6, all 6 of them within 11 months. It's like she's Cowboy Cerrone on the female side. Amazing. But I've heard more about her podcast with Joe Rogan than any UFC fight she's ever done. She's had more views on the Joe Rogan podcast. It's amazing. It's what I do. I listen to your show. Why do you think podcast is so vital to the MMA landscape?
Let's take a look at mixed martial arts, okay? Until now, it's on ESPN. A few years ago, I was in Fox. That's really when it started to get to be where it is, right? It started to really get that exposure that we all hope for and where we are now. Podcasting, the internet, in my opinion, put mixed martial arts where it is today. And I'm not a fan of him, but whatever. I got to give credit to this dude, Ariel Helwani. Okay, where did he start? He started on the internet. He started podcasting. He started putting all that stuff together. And it was because of the podcast that allowed him to interview all these fighters. They would go on the show. When we worked for MMAfighting.com is where I worked for before. And he would tell the stories about the fighters. And it became so intriguing because, look at boxing, for example, when they do the 24/7, where they follow the fighters and the training and the story that they tell behind it. It's about then MMA didn't get that type of HBO or Showtime coverage. HBO doesn't even, is it HBO? Yeah, HBO or Showtime. I can't remember the network that doesn't have anymore. Yeah, HBO. They didn't even do boxing anymore.
Right.
But podcasting was the opportunity for you to tell the stories of these fighters, whether they were battling something personally and then they went to fight or the hell that they had to go through. And I got to give credit where credit is due. The guy who brought that out was Ariel Helwani. He's the one that made all the stars and tell the stories. How they had Conor McGregor, he loves talking to Helwani because he's an open book to him. And he really opened him up. And I go back to how we started this conversation with Howard Stern. You know, how he gets one guest, probably one of the most boringest person that you can think of. But he knows and he studies or he opens that person up to find him or her very interesting. And podcasting allows you to do that. Because you're not going to go on ESPN, First Take, or none of that. You're not going to get none of those stories. You're not going to ask those questions. They want those quick, you know, gotcha questions that you're going to say something stupid, and then you're going to get clickbaits.
Yes.
And you're going to get clicks.
Right.
But podcasting allows you to do all that stuff. Open up. Hell, you can go on a 10-hour podcast for all I care. And you're able to do that. And it's so vital for the sport. We see it now. So many companies are doing podcasts. I remember at a time where I worked for the local CBS station, and one of my good buddies brought up at the time, social media, Facebook, wasn't hot. In fact, they look at it, oh, no, you can't put nothing in there. Oh, no, we don't want to be associated with that. We're TV. We're credible source. We're sticking to what we have. Well, he was the guy that was always pushing, put the stuff in social media, put the videos on social media. Look, there's this thing called podcasting on iTunes. We can, instead of just giving you the 2 minutes of a story on TV, well, we can follow up and make it a 30-minute segment, and we can get some more downloads out of this stuff and throw in some ads in there as well. Well, 3 years later, they fired and they realized, man, that guy was actually serious. And, yeah, we have to be on social media, and we have to do podcasts and all that good stuff. Because TV, they only give us a 30-minute news hour or news, a 30-minute news segment, and that's pretty much it. And we all really know that they get just a 50 minutes because of all the ads they throw in there. But podcasting, you have the liberty of doing and talking about whatever the hell you want. If you want to throw in an advertisement, go ahead. Why not? And you're seeing it with so many companies. Look at the, and I go back to AEW and WWE. The New Day has a podcast now.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
I heard him like that. Yo, let me. And I'll be honest. I listen to some podcasts, and honestly, with the podcasts that I listen to, are more of a inspirational guy. I listen to, his name is Jay Shetty. He was a guy who was a Buddha, a monk. He was a monk, and he flew. I believe it was in somewhere in Cambodia or some of those places in Asia. I can't remember the exact place. But he's originally from United Kingdom, from England, and he quit doing everything to become a monk. He came back, and he just started doing his podcast about using what he learned as a monk and applying that to your everyday life, and the guy has made it. He has a book coming out soon, and the guy has Kim Kardashian talking about what things that happened to her and how positivity helped her and so forth. So podcast is it could be a very vital instrument to your everyday life. Things that you've learned on a podcast, you might not hear from George Moore or those fake news that you see on Facebook because some Russian is putting it up. You know, so this is an opportunity for really learn a lot, a subject or a person that you like to.
Right. I'm so with you. There's so many I talk to daily, almost a fighter or, like I said, a promoter or an agent. And, you know, what I've always tried to do different, like I said, over 170 episodes, you know, everyone can say, how's your fight camp going? Is there any injuries? What do you think you're going to do different? All that. Me, like, I want to know about, hey, why are you fighting? What got you into mixed martial arts? You know, what's happened in the childhood? What gets you going now? What do you like to do on fight day? Is it going? I know so many fighters that love going to movies. They love going into a dark, you know, big movie theater. You know, they like like to watch Aquaman and just relax for 2 hours because they know they're going to go through hell later that night. So it's just, you know, these kind of things. And then you pick up things. And yeah, Roman, I love this story that you told me earlier. You know, like I said, I knew about wrestling because I listened to your show and I see you all the time on your website and everything. But, you know, now to talk to you about it and how you talked to me about Lucha Libre and back in the day, this is great. I didn't know how you got connected with Lex McMahon. So everything that I learned tonight, I feel good about. Like I said, hopefully this is just the first of many. We appreciate your time. We know you're busy. And yeah, man, I had a great time talking to you today on the Fight Bananas podcast.
Yeah, no, man, thank you. You know, and I'd like to finish off with something very interesting that, you know, I always love to tell this story because you just never know, right? And when I was 18 years old, I was in the gym. I'm always exercising and I just have a passion for it. I've always exercised all my life. And they had a Gold's Gym here. And every time WWF at the time, WWE came here, all the wrestlers would go and train there. I'm talking about Kane, Triple H, all these big guys would go and train there. Well, one guy that always showed up to train is The Rock. The Rock would go out and train at this gym, and we would see him all the time at Gold's Gym. In fact, I have the pleasure of seeing I spotted The Rock once at, during bench press. And believe it or not, he was only benching 145 pounds. So he's not like he was lifting 700 pounds like many people think. And I remember at the time, I was 18 and I was in school studying journalism. My dream was to report in war. I always wanted to go and report and be a correspondent for war. That was my goal. I wanted to go work for Fox News and shipped me up to the Gulf, and I wanted to cover a war. Wow. Don't ask me why, but that was my passion, and I always wanted to do it because to me that is the that's the worst in human. That's the worst in a human in the human race. War.
Right.
I wanted to be able to one day tell my children, hey, you know, I didn't fight in a war, but I saw a war, and so I always wanted to do that, but didn't go that route. I ended up speaking with a different war, and that's the war that happens in the cage. But I remember speaking to The Rock, and I remember telling him, hey, Rock, I want to be a pro wrestler. I'm training. As you know, I'm not, you know, 6'5", or taller than you are. But what can I do? You know, maybe I could be a luchador. Maybe I can grow a cruiserweight. And I remember to this day, he always told me. And he at the time, he was becoming big. He was becoming big. He had just left the Nation of Domination, and I think he was now just The Rock. And he would just tell me to focus on your education and always have that plan B. And obviously my plan A at the time was become a wrestler. But he said, always have that plan B. And my plan B was always journalism because I grew up in it. My father was a journalist. My mother was a journalist. In fact, my father actually got to cover war. And it had always been there. And to this day, I saw The Rock about maybe 5 years ago. And I brought up the story, and he still remembered the time he gave me that lecture inside the locker room. And I'll never forget that. The Rock. And look at where he is now. I think he's like the most, you know, highest paid actor now.
The biggest movie star in the world. Yeah, he's
isn't
it
crazy?
That is. That's such a great story. Man, thank you so much. This has been such a great show. Rodolfo Roman on the Fight Bananas podcast. Yeah, let me give you the floor. Where can people find your podcast? Where can they find your website, social media platforms? Take it away, my man.
Yeah, no, and thank you, man. Thank you for what you do and allowing all the fighters to go and speak and everyone else because, you know, that's what we need. We need some more airways and some more opportunities or avenues for people to learn about who are involved with the sport. But they could just go to theromanshow.com, very simple, and Instagram, @RomanDH, same thing on Twitter as well.
Perfect. That sounds good. Easy enough. Like I said, that was a really, really quick 49 minutes, and we're just getting started. We'll talk to you really soon, my man.
Awesome, Dave. Well, thanks so much, man. God bless, and hope to see you at the next fight.
Sounds good, brother. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Wow, that you can call that episode Story Time with Rodolfo Roman. Oh my goodness, that was awesome. That was I love people that have been through so much. The stories of wrestling with The Rock. How about Titan FC? How he got it. Got into ring announcing. The stories about the transgender. Just amazing mixed martial arts stories. Just amazing life stories. That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Very, very happy. Big fan of Roman. We'll definitely have him back on the show very, very soon. I promise you that. Guys, real quick, before we go started, I got to shout out a sponsor that's been so vital to us, really helping us out. You see the content we're pushing out. Content takes money. The electric bill, our studio, equipment, travel. And I'm talking about a sponsor that helps not even just us here at the Fight Bananas Podcast, multiple fighters, amateurs, professionals, and so much in between. Mako Tech Mouthguards. Put that in your Instagram right now. Go follow them, please. Mako, M-A-K-O, Tech, T-E-K, _ Mouthguards. Mako Tech Mouthguards, guys. It's a great company, great family. Just show them some love. They show so many fighters, amateurs, and professionals love. So let's give it back. I'm telling you, let's give it back to them. Warhammer Fightwear, they've been with us since our very first podcast, over 177 of them ago. WarhammerFightwear.com. Check them out. Some of the best gear in all MMA. Love us some Warhammer Fightwear. Last but certainly not least, Fusion CBD products. I'm on it almost every day. They've gave me some of the water. Go check out the water. They threw me 224 packs. I drink 2-3 of them a day. A couple stuff to eat. The rub. I'm all in. Fusion CBD products, guys. Check them out. FusionCBDProducts.com. Use our promo code FIGHT2020. Our promo code is FIGHT2020. We're going to get you 20% off everything in your cart. FIGHT2020 at FusionCBDProducts.com. Guys, this is Dave Van Auken. Follow me on my social media platforms at David Van Auken. Spell it correctly. You're welcome. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, it's all good. Fight Bananas Official on the IG. Slide into the DMs. Ask us some Q&As. We'll take it and we'll run with it. Thank you guys so much. Subscribe, especially iHeartRadio. It has been incredible. I told you last month, February, it was like February 8th or 10th. It was our greatest month ever. And it just kept on going from there. So we're just getting started. Now we're in March, and we're excited to see what's next. We're excited to see, can we beat March? March was so incredible for us. February was so incredible. We don't stop. We want to keep it going. So we're hoping to make March our biggest month ever, and we're off to a really good start. So we're super happy. We're appreciative here at the Fight Bananas Podcast. Last, Roman, thank you so much, man. We appreciate your time. Loved your stories. You're welcome on this podcast anytime you want to. If there's something on the plate that you want to get off, come on and say it. Even if you just want to talk for a minute or the whole 50 minutes, we're with you. We got your back. Thank you so much, Roman, for coming on the show. That's how you close it, guys. That is called a Fight Bananas Podcast. We appreciate you guys so much. Keep it with us. Download, subscribe, tell a friend, tell a neighbor, tell an enemy. Subscribe to our Fight Bananas YouTube channel and continue success. Stay blessed. Help out someone, all right? Be good. Be good to your neighbor and stay bananas.